B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Get this week stuck out of here.
Don't want tinsel, don't want bows, don't want Rudolph's shiny nose. I'm gonna eat for Christmas. From my diet I was strayed, but I'll work out the next day. I'm gonna eat for Christmas. It's a time for giving. Won't you give me mashed potatoes and ham? It's a time for sharing. Are you gonna polish off those yams?
You mean these?
No.
Yes, I am.
I'm going to eat for Christmas. Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning.
Nothing gets you in the spirit of Christmas quite like Rosie O'Donnell talking about shoving food in her face. Rosie O'Donnell, the omnipresent Rosie O'Donnell, everywhere at once right now.
I'm going to eat for Christmas. I'm going to cry till New Year's.
I know. Listen, she seems to have it all together. 617-779-0985. We're in the Town Fair Tire Studios. You can watch us on twitch.tv. Subscribe to 98.5 Sports Hub. I got my butt showing pants on. We can get the 98.5 Sports Hub app. And, yeah, you know, listen to the show live. Get the podcast, all those things. Last night it was boys' night at home. Yeah. My wife and daughter went out with another wife and daughter team to go get henna. Henna tattoos, which, you know, it's the ink they put on you that dyes your skin for, you know, however long. And my daughter put it on me, and now it just looks like I have tuberculosis. she put henna on me, and now it just looks like I have some rare skin disease. To go with my soon-to-be liver-spotted hands as they are. It's just a nice look at what my hand's going to look like when I'm 10 years older. The liver spots start coming in. But the boys were... When the mice are away, the boys shall play. And we watched Die Hard last night. Die Hard.
And still a great movie. Still holds up. That's one that, you know, doesn't look dated. Special effects are still good.
It's dated in the fact that cell phones would have helped a lot.
Oh, yeah. But other than that, sure.
And also, you know, I know he's only a man, but he knows when he confronts the head bad guy, and the head bad guy puts on an American accent and pleads for his life.
Clay.
That's right.
William Clay.
That's right. Oops, no bullets.
Yeah, he gives him the gun with no bullets, right. But he allows him to radio his friends and tell them that he's in trouble.
Yeah.
So when he, and then dramatically the man starts to try to fire the gun, because the guy's a bad guy because he doesn't count to three all the way.
Mm-hmm.
Because only a coward would shoot before the count of three. Because...
Mm-hmm.
Most bad guys, when they're going to shoot you, do give you a countdown. And he knows he's a bad guy. He gives him a gun with no bullets in it. And then he allows him to radio his friends, setting up yet another scene. That was not good police officer work. You should have just shot him.
Maybe he just wasn't 100% sure, so we gave him the gun with the option of giving him the bullets.
Okay,
later.
But there was a lot of talking and a lot of letting things go.
Sure.
Before he turned and could have just killed the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And at any point during the, you know, few minutes that they were chatting after you had given him the gun.
Have you seen the new commercial that casted together? The new Die Hard battery commercial? It's for Die Hard. Why they haven't done this in the, 25 years since that movie's been out? It's fairly brilliant, because what made it good was that not only is it, you know, Bruce Willis and he's escaping, you know, bad guys or whatever, but they brought back what's the name of the limo driver in the movie?
Argyle.
They brought back Argyle as his limo driver. I'm like, whoa, that's random. And I think that they even brought back, and the quarterback is toast. That guy as well was in the commercial. Like random. Like actors from it, not any of the obviously Rickman's dad, but you know, none of the Bonnie Bedelia. I don't know what she's up to, but they didn't bring back anybody like that.
Bonnie Bedelia, her career kind of went nowhere after Die Hard. That was interesting casting to put Bonnie Bedelia in that movie.
What else was she in? Like, she like was for like 2 years, was in like a bunch of movies and then just kind of just disappeared.
Maybe she wanted to get in the kitchen. Where she belongs. Maybe she had to. Maybe her man wanted her to make a hot plate. Come on, get out! You're always on the set. But yeah, she was not in anything else. The one part I'll tell you is when he climbs into the air. He's all about being in the elevator shaft.
Yeah,
that's a big thing for him. And then a good scene is when he climbs into the ductwork, because it would be very claustrophobic. But he gets by just by the skin of his teeth when he's in there, because they get called away.
He's talking a lot to himself.
He goes, now I know how
coming
a TV
up to the
dinner.
Coast, yeah. For this dinner.
Yeah, he goes, now I know how a TV dinner feels, and you're like, oh boy, I bet you do.
Oh man,
but that's the best part of the movie, because you feel very claustrophobic for him. I wouldn't even want to shoot that scene, having to climb through ductwork. Oof. Yeah, there's times where I'm like, I just want him to shoot me. Get it over with.
Well, Die Hard was a series that when my wife worked for the Turner Networks, you know, her job was that she would watch all the films, edit out all the bad words, and, you know, you would have to send the edits to the movie studios, and they would come back with, you know, sometimes they would have a contract with the actual actors themselves, and you would have somebody like Bruce Willis go back into a studio and record whatever lines were required. But in this case, that movie had been out for years, and there was already an edit that the studio had sent them for years, and it's one of the most notoriously awfully, just the worst voice impression ever. Like, they got the worst voice. It was almost as if they got this script and this order that, hey, the network needs somebody to do the lines of Bruce Willis, and they need it in 5 minutes.
It's the Yippee-ki-yay scene, isn't it?
Oh, I mean, come on. It's like a
Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon.
Oh, yeah. Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon. Yeah, first of all, the line's just so phenomenally bad. And second of all, I mean, they just got Dave from accounting to do it. Like, they didn't have anybody who's done anything like Bruce Willis. And even in the second one, his voice, they did Die Hard 1 and 2. His voice changes. Listen to how it changes in the middle of the scene.
When the Army can't do it, he must have loaded that unit with his own men.
Are you nuts? That firefighter's out.
I killed a jerk us around 5 times.
He's got some old guy to do it.
Wow.
It's like a guy who like sucked on helium before he did that.
Yippee-ki-yay, Father Mucker.
Not even that. Mr. Falcon. There's no Mr. Falcon in that movie at all that I know of, unless it was just one of the random Germans that just gets offed. And maybe that's Mr. Falcon, but that still wouldn't make any sense in that scene.
He writes their names all on his arm. Police work. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Winslow knew immediately that he was police. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just call it a hunch. And then the bad guy from the Breakfast Club, he's got no clue. He just wants to get up in the ranks.
We're going to need some more FBI guys.
Yeah, and then there's that guy who, I guess it's Ellis, who gets killed. He has an unnaturally dark beard. That guy.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Anyone who uses, like, Just for Men ends up looking like Ellis from Die Hard. Yeah. I mean, I can get him for you.
Well, the FBI are bad guys. They're willing to kill 25 of the hostages.
True. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He tells them to stand down. The only, you know, the only guy who's on his side out there is Mr. Winslow, Family Matters.
Who they give the CB to the entire time. They just go, all right, you take it.
Because he trusts him. He's the only one he trusts out there.
No. But it's not fully explained why, you know, they would allow that to happen. But the FBI, the guy goes just like Saigon. So he's he's some crazy Vietnam vet. Mm-hmm. That just wants to blow people away, but he gets his comeuppance.
And then there's the news reporter who just in the early 90s and late 80s was the ultimate stereotypical prick. Yeah. Like every role.
He was a real genius.
He was the Ghostbusters guy, too.
That's right. Yeah.
I thought the same thing last night. I'm like, this guy, he's got to be the greatest guy in real life. Because, yeah. I mean, but they decided that this guy looks like an a-hole. Yeah. And so we're going to, he's going to be an a-hole in every movie.
Can you imagine Fred trying out for that role and you show up at Central Casting? It's like, all right, the role is for just a colossal prick. And you show up and you see that guy sitting on a chair. What are you like? All right, I'm just, I give up. He gets it. Yeah, I mean, there you go. By default, he gets the prick role.
It's him and Billy. But Zabka, you understood because Zabka was all American, like good looking, blonde hair, blue eyes. So you get that.
Yeah.
Against Danielson's, you know, across the bad side of the tracks, brutish Italian olive skin. The two of them, you had to root for Daniel in that case. But the other guy's it's a little harder to pinpoint why everyone thought he looked like such a prick.
And he was great at it. He's a great prick.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Okay, so Zabka had a good run there as being like the movie prick. Okay, so he was the Karate Kid. Just one of the guys, obviously. I think he was the daughter's boyfriend in European Vacation.
You're missing Back to School. He was a great prick in Back to School.
We haven't got to Back to School yet. Yeah, Back to School,
he was in European Vacation. Yep.
Yeah, and I'm trying
the ugliest girl in the history of the world's girl boyfriend. And you're like, why?
And maybe that's it, but I mean, but he had a good run there of being just like certified prick guy.
I can't see who's on the phone, Nicky Nick.
And I'm trying to remember what else that dude from Ghostbusters and Die Hard was, but yeah, I mean, there aren't many actors who just nailed that role in every movie. They're the swarmy prick.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought the same thing. I'm like, they have two central casting pricks. The guy from The Breakfast Club and the dude from Real Genius. They just said, here you are.
I'm trying to think if there's anyone else who just shows up like, all right, you're getting the role for being the prick.
You want to talk about a movie that just Cable insisted upon it and then it became so, was Real Genius. Real Genius, nothing going for it. The kid, is there a worse actor than the kid that played the main dork with the middle part? No. I mean, he's the worst actor of all time. That movie's got nothing going for it.
That's right.
And they insisted upon it, and they just played it and played it and played it, and we've all seen it.
Yep, it's true.
Anyone under the age of 35 has seen that movie at least once and seen parts of it several times. I don't even know if I've seen it all the way through. But I've seen every scene of it, but not in sequential order. But like Real Genius, it was on like a year ago too. They just go, hey, it was Real Genius.
That's the Val Kilmer one, right?
Yes. Oh yeah, that's right. Where they put the popcorn in the car.
I swear to God, back in the day, I thought Top Secret was the greatest movie ever made. Like that came out right when it was just. And you know what? I actually saw it maybe a couple years ago. I saw like part of it or whatever. I thought of a scene. I watched part of it online. It still made me laugh. Like when it comes to like just sight gag movies, other than the original Naked Gun, it really doesn't get better than Top Secret. Top Secret's a pretty good dumb movie if you go watch it now.
Dan, go ahead.
Hey, Freddie, you're the reason I listen.
I just
want you to, if you pay attention in the scene where he's barefoot walking on the glass, you will see some fingers twiddling together in the background. Yes. I just thought you should know that.
Oh, I didn't know that when he's bloody feet. Mm-hmm. Are you going to drink that water you're rinsing them with? Yeah, and Bruce Willis not required after the, even my son said something, after he's, you know, all said and done, they let him get right back in the limo with Argyle. There's no questions to be answered, no hospital that needs to be gone to. It's just right into the limo and home.
Mm-hmm.
There's like, all right, what's done is done. See you later. You killed like 8 guys. We don't know who you are, but go about your business.
But that movie was so good that it spawned a million different bad ripoffs of bad guys that were like the likable, witty bad guy. Because before that was one of the first big movies that had like a wisecracking, everybody likes this bad guy even though he's evil type deal. And man, did everyone just fail. Like there was like even like I think of John Malkovich as Cyrus the Virus in Con Air. Like he's like the witty, and I just think of there's so many knockoff bad guys. No one did it like Alan Rickman did. And unfortunately, they just it made so many horrible, cheesy one-liner dudes. I think of John Travolta and what was that movie?
Face Off.
Face Off. He's pretty cheesy. The one that he was out in the desert with Christian Slater, where he's like,
Broken Arrow.
Broken Arrow. Yeah.
I mean, there were
so many bad knockoff wannabe Alan Rickman bad guys, and he was the best to do it.
Paul, go ahead.
Yeah, for like four or five of the main people from that movie passed on. We know Rickman's dead. The principal guy, the tall blonde guy, he was a ballet dancer.
He was a ballet dancer?
Really?
Yeah, Russian.
I think you're right.
I thought that there would be a height restriction to ballet dancing, much like gymnastics.
Something about he defected or something around the time that movie was made and his wife stayed behind. There's some story about him. It's real interesting.
Oh, well, I'll tell you, they give him a lot of screen time. I mean, he pops up. He's there at the end, too. And in the feel-good moment at the end is Mr. Winslow got the courage to kill again.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I shot a kid.
Yeah.
I shot a kid.
Yeah. There it is. Yes,
I shot an unarmed 13-year-old.
Yeah, I shot a kid.
Mm-hmm.
That's a weird part of the script where you're like, oh, he shot an unarmed 13-year-old. He goes,
didn't mean to.
Well, I mean, he meant to shoot him. I mean, he just he didn't know the whole sitch. But then he got his balls back. I'll tell you, right there at the end, he was standing there and he saved the day.
Let me ask you something. It's the second one you guys brought up. Is Sipowicz in that?
Yes, Sipowicz is like one of the main thorns in
his
side.
He runs the airport. He's the head of the police at the airport.
He's the head of the police.
That's
and then
right.
Oh, who was the old grumpy guy that was in every every submarine movie, who was the head of the airport? The guy talked like this. Oh my god, he was a congressman. Like,
yeah, he was a Republican.
I was on a plane with him. I was on a plane with him once.
Fred Thompson. Yes,
that sounds about right.
That
but I mean, he was.
I know his first name
is
Fred.
Movies.
I know his first name is Fred. I think it's Fred Thompson.
Crimson Tide and all that. Like he was in all of those films. But Die Hard 2 had one of the better endings of an action movie when the plane takes off and he lights the thing with the gas and it blows it up. Die Hard 3 is a straight up excellent movie with Samuel L. Jackson. And then it really, really falls off.
You didn't like the one with the cyber criminal where he shoots himself at the end? His daughter is part of it?
Well, you're spoiling way too many things. I didn't even know there was a Die Hard 4.
Yeah. Okay, no, there's a Die Hard 5. Yeah, no, the Die Hard 5 one was
in Russia. That's
in Russia.
Fourth one wasn't bad. I liked the fourth one.
It was definitely a fall off from the other three. Like all three diehards, the first three are really good. Like I mean, they're really well done.
There's a long scene with the guy you can't stand. Who's the actor you absolutely hate? Kevin.
From which movie?
No.
Smith.
The guy who wears the hockey uniform all the time.
Yeah, Kevin Smith.
Yeah,
he's in the fourth one.
He's
so
in the fourth one.
It's
a long one in Kevin Smith's basement with him and Bruce Willis. It's a great scene.
Yeah, I have a feeling that didn't make a ton of money. All right, what's coming up in the stack, Rich? Whatever the hell we do. What happened last night? What's coming up?
Looks like we are going to be getting hockey sooner than we all thought. So how about that? And a very weird night for the NFL yesterday.
All right, so we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night? 98.5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. And, Rich, what's going on?
Well, just like that, it looks like we're merely a month away from the return of real hockey. So after butting heads over financial issues for the last several months, the NHL and the Players Association have reportedly come to an agreement on a structure of a new season, and it starts soon. January 13th is a proposed start date with a 52 or 56 game schedule, and that is what is currently being planned. I've seen as early as December 28th as the proposed beginning of training camp. Now, the NHL initially wanted to begin play, obviously, back when all this was being talked about and the season was over on December 1st. That came and went. Things have not yet been settled outside of, like, solidifying an actual schedule, and there's matters such as the league's COVID-19 protocols and, of course, the potential team realignment that may be necessary for the season to take place. All of that is to be discussed this week. And, John, I think that I saw you mention that tomorrow is when I believe the heads of the NHL are all
today.
Getting together. It was today. Okay.
Today.
And they're all trying to hammer that part of it out. But at least you've got a massive step in the right direction, and we're just about a month away now from puck drop, which is obviously fantastic news. There was also a story I saw yesterday reporting that Charlie Baker was at the TD Garden last week discussing the possibility of the Bruins playing in front of a max of 7,500 fans per game. Now, there was no word on at what point in the season they want to achieve that, just that there are discussions right now of some sort in the plan that could involve the return of fans.
I don't know how you do that. I mean, Baker just held a press conference announcing he was rolling things back. I don't know
they're
how
not,
you
they're not talking about the beginning of the season.
There's no chance it's at the beginning of the season, no. Considering what we just heard.
No, you couldn't do that now. But, I mean, if you're looking at this potential schedule, which it sounds like the season would end fairly similar to when it would normally end, right? I mean, if you take a look at it, aren't they expecting the Stanley Cup Finals to be done sometime in June?
It doesn't. You can. There's some wiggle room here, and the NBA has its schedule so that Game 7 of the NBA Finals will be done July 22nd, mm-hmm. And there's a reason for that, because July 23rd is the opening ceremonies for the Olympics. So you can push the NHL season back a little bit. As long as you get out of there by mid-July, you're fine. You don't want to go up against the Olympics, because you're going to lose any and all viewers you might have. Any casual fan that you would hope to keep watching your sport, you're going to lose if you butt up against the Olympics. So there's a hard end date there that you have some wiggle room to achieve.
I can't wait until I see what swimmers are on the horizon.
I know.
I love the Olympics. It's like I always forget how much I enjoy just having it on in the background until it's there. But the 7,500
swimming, and who's going to be the new star of the swim team?
Is Lochte on the team still?
He wants to be. We learned that.
Yeah, but trials, right?
Yeah, for some reason Gillette made a huge bet on him and lost. They somehow couldn't get it together. The Ryan Lochte personality train did not carry them through.
But yeah.
But can you imagine the excitement of solitary of just grinding yourself and hurting yourself every day in the pool for
with
the huge reward.
With no one paying attention.
And then to be thrust upon the scene only to pee on a wall in a
Lochte for president.
How did that not take off?
He had jazz sneakers, jazz grills.
Yeah, no one bought the grill. No one wanted the grills. That's a surprise. But I could see how you could... It's almost like a time machine, the pool. Because I could see that the last time you didn't swim, like all the time, would be the last time you remember. So it would be like getting out of jail 20 years after you've been incarcerated. And if you had no access to the internet or TV or anything, and you're just kind of coming out. So, yeah, he's probably coming out and, you know, putting in his Raising Hell tape by Run DMC and, you know, having the time of his life.
Well, that 7,500 fans thing, you know, everything I've been reading is that it sounds like there is a movement to hopefully, when the playoffs start, be the time that they'll be able to get fans
nice.
In there. And 7,500,
nice.
That's a half house, right? Like a regular Bruins game would be about 13,000 people, right?
I think it's a little more than that.
Or like 15,000.
They'll probably have a full crowd by the playoffs.
No, because the more we hear about how this is going to get rolled out, I think that cities are going to open up, but I also think that a half house is probably what they're looking at.
Well,
as far as the amount
full,
of people are going
to
have it.
Well, it sucks to be the Bruins because there are going to be full houses in a lot of other places by then.
That's probably true. But yeah,
they're saying that anyone who wants to be vaccinated being vaccinated in April.
I hope that's right.
Well, I hope that. I mean, that's what we heard, and now we're
and at a certain point, it is what it is. Well, the shortage is with this one particular, but they went all in on Moderna, they say. So, and then the other one that's going to come out. So, I mean, they're short on the Pfizer, but apparently all in on the Moderna.
Well, that would be great. I mean, you know, and you would think that hopefully the way things are rolling out, you know, whether or not they ease up to the playoffs with fans, it would be great if by the time the playoffs came around. And even like Fauci said that he thought it was a little ambitious, but it could happen. And it sounds like by football season, they're going to be able to have full stands.
The Bruins, it's going to be funny because depending on who they play in the playoffs, you're going to see one. Because I don't doubt they're not going to have full fans.
Visit Tampa Bay, Tampa Bay is going to bang out that place and then you come back to the Garden where it's going to be 7,000.
Yeah, it's going to be loud as hell where everywhere else you play, because it's going to be loud as hell everywhere outside of New York, California, and here. And so it's going to be, by then it will be full fans. I don't doubt for
if you have 7,499 fans and one Xanadu'd, it's going to be as loud as any other arena.
I know, and will Xanadu sit in his real seat? That's the question.
Will
he sit with his back in the upper deck?
He's going to stay true, Fred. He's going to stay true to where he came from.
Xanadu seems like he would feel that the Bruins would lose if he moved.
That's true.
If he moved seats, that somehow would unfairly affect the team.
I wouldn't doubt it. All this movement with the NHL just kind of reminded me yesterday that we still don't have an idea about Zdeno Chara's future, right? I mean, I know that he's been, you know, waiting to find out what this season would look like. We're pretty close to knowing. So you would think that after this meeting, John, that you were talking about today, where they hopefully hammer out things like, you know, what the COVID regulations are, how the season's going to look.
That's not the only thing they have to, that's not the only thing they have to worry about. There is still a significant block of owners, of which Jeremy Jacobs apparently is one of them, that wants a lot of that salary deferred.
I thought that was what was settled, though. What this was. But there's not enough financial agreement.
There aren't enough of these owners to turn the canoe over. But I mean,
then you don't have to appease them.
Yeah.
And so, unfortunately for Jeremy Jacobs, they're going to have to play hockey.
I know, dissension in the ranks, though. I guess my only point is this is not going to be unanimous. There are still a lot of owners, of which Jeremy Jacobs is one of them, that are not happy the way this all came down. But no, they're going to play.
And he's going to want the gate, and
there won't be none. There's not early.
I mean, they'll break even or something on home games.
Yep.
So, yeah, he's going to want that gate, and he's going to look around, and the owners in Tampa Bay and Florida and Dallas, they're all going to be going, what are you complaining about? Oh, that's right. And then they're going to be, licking sweet, sweet greenbacks. But it is good that the hockey would be back. There was really no doubt. Jeremy Jacobs he's a powerful owner, and he can, you know, stomp his feet and cross his arms, but that's not going to change things. I mean, they're going to play. They have to.
And maybe by then they'll be able to figure out some sort of deal between Nesson and YouTube TV, because I still don't have Nesson. It pisses me off.
Don't worry. I'm telling you, they'll work it out. It's a month from Sunday. That is apparently the starting date. A month from Sunday.
And no preseason games, right?
No preseason games
either.
Games.
They're just starting.
That's right. And I would bet you anything that deal will be done. Probably won't be done until a month from Friday, but they'll get it done and you'll be fine.
Does YouTube TV need Nesson, or does Nesson need YouTube TV? That is, I don't know how many people have YouTube TV. Because I'm a dinosaur with satellite TV. I'm a dinosaur with DirecTV, which went out last Saturday, by the way, for quite some time.
About 6 hours it was out.
Yeah,
yep.
That's great. Because that's when you want it out, too, is during
a snowstorm where you can't go anywhere, right?
When you're trapped at home, that's exactly when you want it to go out. All right, Rich, what's coming up?
Let's get to a very weird day in the NFL yesterday.
All right, so we'll be right back. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com.
Text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now, more Touch Rich. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's like Harry.
Oh no! This is the Road to Nowhere by Ozzy.
Harry,
don't you dare compare Europe to the sweet sounds of Zakk Wylde shredding. Listen.
Oh, is this when Zakk still had the the teased hair?
That was the No More Tears album. Yes. So it was not quite as teased as it was when he was doing. No Rest for the Wicked.
Okay. Because he was a young guitar prodigy.
Like 18 years old, I think, when he did No Rest for the Wicked. And he shreds on that album.
New Jersey kid, teased hair, and an attitude. What's going on, Rich? Weird night, you say, in the NFL?
Weird day, weird night. Let's start with the Patriots, because they're still out west preparing for the game tomorrow night against the Rams.
My old stomping grounds, my old laboratory.
I mean, Matthew Slater was asked, because they were at UCLA practicing.
That's where I went to college.
That's right. They said, what do you look forward to seeing on campus?
My professors.
Was there one thing you wanted to make sure you saw?
Powell Library. It's like the main library here. Spent a lot of time in there. They've changed a great deal since I left here, so it's been cool to just be around and see the new facilities, and it's exciting.
Of course, it was the library,
not the campus, not the college, the library. Yeah, and what changes they made inside the library?
They still do the Dewey Decimal System. Sweet,
he is just a gift. I got
Johnny and Barbara, my two Bunsen burners. They're still kicking.
You name them?
Oh, yeah. He and his and hers.
Really?
Oh, yeah. You get the right lab partner. Yay.
Well, the good news is that Jonathan Jones and J.C. Jackson, they were back out there on the practice field after injuries. One guy who was not out there was Isaiah Ford. So after trading for him several weeks ago, the Pats were like, no thanks. They put him on waivers this weekend, hoping to re-sign him to the practice squad, but now he's headed back to the Dolphins. So they basically gave Miami a free seventh-round pick, so there you go. Enjoy it. But who are we kidding? Cam's not really going to throw the ball anyway, so having an extra receiver right now is kind of like having a fish with an extra bicycle.
Up on more blockers for Gunner, man. More guys for Gunner. That's all you need.
Best
special teams in the history of the sport. Take all the receivers off. All I need is Jacoby Myers and a bunch of special team studs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right, because the forward passes, nothing to do with this game.
We're going to run the wing tee, damn it. Try and stop us.
Yep. Student body right, student body left. You try to get in the way. You can't do it.
That was my high school offense. The 121. 929. Let's go.
Yep. Todd Anderson between the guard and center. Todd Anderson between the guard and tackle. Todd Anderson between the other center and guard. That was our offense. But Freddie T caught one touchdown pass because the corner fell.
Oh, nice.
The corner fell, and I caught it, and then I didn't really know what to do. And if you watch the tape, it takes several seconds for me to get from where I was to the end zone.
Did you spike the ball? What'd you do?
I watch it every time I go home.
You and Bird.
No, I don't watch it every time I go home. But we had all the Betamax switched to DVD, which now everyone's using. What do I do with the ball? I don't spike it. I think I just throw it to the ref.
Oh, there you go. That's Barry Sanders.
Act like you've been there before, which I hadn't, or you're going to be there again, which I didn't.
Right.
I caught two passes in high school. I caught a touchdown, like a 50-yard touchdown.
Okay.
And I caught one over the middle, and when I got back in the huddle, the center, Mark Horowitz, said, "Why did you fall down?" And then I was ashamed. And as for blocking schemes, never quite figured it out. And no one ever said anything to me. I just blocked the guy in front of me.
That's bad.
And no one.
Well, that's really bad. No one says anything to you
no,
at all.
No one said that's anything. Bad. I played. And no one said anything. On defense, it was all about holding the edge.
Mm-hmm. Set, hold.
You know.
Sure.
Same thing.
Okay.
Same. Different verbiage. Same thing. But yeah, not to over pursue because of the passing attacks we faced. Oof. Shoot your lights out.
I told you, Fred, about how I was the tight end on our team, and then we had a kid who came there who I played tight end, and he showed up, and it, when he was in 11th grade, he had a size 18 shoe that had to be special ordered. He was a big hillbilly named Bert Scarborough, went on to play at Marshall on the team that Chad Pennington, I think, was on. I think that was the team that he played for.
Well, do you want me to one-up you, or do you want me to one-up
you? No. The reason I'm saying that is because my role just became one-on-one tackling dummy for an entire season against this monster who went on to play for like an amazing college. So basically it was just drills against him, and he would crush me over and over, and he was like kind of like this Lenny type Mice and Men character, because he was like, I'm sorry, and he would make me, I'm like, dude, it's fine, let's go again.
Well, so, I've said this before, is when I was in eighth grade, I had to, we played the junior varsity football team, and at tight end was one Chris Weber. And they said, don't touch him. They said, you are not to touch him. And I lined up across from him, and I stood there. And that's how we scrimmaged. And you know what? Chris Weber never had to play that second sport again, because they came up with a sport called strength and conditioning. Because at Country Day, you had to take two sports. So they actually made him put on football pads for 2 years. And then they said, maybe this isn't the best idea in the world. Hmm. And they said, from now on, we'll do strength and conditioning. And Chris Weber no longer had to put on the pads. They said, you are not to touch this young man under any circumstances. And I said, no way. That's against everything I believe in.
I wish I didn't have to touch this guy.
Yeah, no,
I got nailed by him over and over.
You got the worst of it. Yeah, I just had to stand there. We only scrimmaged him a couple of times, but I just had to stand there.
I got a concussion, like three concussions a week, just getting clocked by that guy over and over again. So that was fun. Well, a strange Tuesday night NFL game started with an even stranger pregame yesterday.
Jackson off the play fake, pumps once, looks right, nothing there, looks left, fires to the end zone, back corner, over the shoulder, catch is made, Hollywood Brown, touchdown
Hollywood
Ravens!
Puncher.
What a throwing catch! Lamar Jackson to Hollywood Brown.
They thought a 50-year-old could never produce such a stud. That's what they're going to say about Hollywood Toucher.
Well, the Ravens steamrolled the Cowboys. We saw that last night, 34-17. But Lamar Jackson, 2019, showed up. Baltimore ran all over the Cowboys' D for about a million yards. But the way the night began was this year's NFL season personified. So just about an hour before kickoff, Dez Bryant, who, if you're keeping track, is now on the Ravens, so this was, I guess, supposed to be his revenge game?
I actually thought he was on the Cowboys. Because I know the story, but I thought he was on the Cowboys.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, I kind of had to just like do a double take, too. Like, oh yeah. That's right. He's on this team now.
Okay, I thought he was on the Cowboys. I don't think that's crazy, but I thought he was. All right, go ahead.
Well, as he was, at one point. Well, he tweeted, quote, tell me why they pull me from warming up so I go get tested. My blank comeback positive. I tested positive for COVID. WTF. That's about an hour before kickoff.
Where did he go to college?
Is it Oklahoma State? I'm asking. I don't know off the top.
I actually don't know.
Oklahoma State.
I'll have to look.
Not to throw away your degree. Because he can't write. All right,
well,
go ahead.
Dez reportedly had received a pair of inconclusive tests on Tuesday, so he took a point-of-care test right before kickoff, and it came back positive, so they yanked him right off the practice field. So then people started wondering, well, if he was with all of his teammates all day, who else is getting yanked? But, of course, no one.
That's right. Everyone still went out and played.
The NFL's making all this up as they go.
I was
just like, all right.
Here's a guy we thought was fine. We got to pull him an hour before the game, but we're not going to tell test anybody else who might have had interactions with him, or like
everybody.
They tested everyone, John. They tested everyone, and everyone else came up negative.
But didn't they tell us that the rule was that if you were a close contact
with them, they've pulled guys for that before.
No. I don't know. I'm sure there's some BS explanation, but it's just they're making up things. Yeah. Like,
honestly, the entire Vegas offensive line had to sit out a week's worth of practice.
And they weren't negative, right? Yeah, no, they just were near a guy who was positive. Listen, so you're like, all right.
That's good for the Patriots.
No, what you were saying, Fred, and what you said at the beginning of the season is true. They're playing. They don't care. Yes. They're playing. They're not delaying anything.
There are billions of dollars on the line. They're playing.
It might be an inconvenience. Like, you might have to play on a Tuesday night, or you might have to travel the day of game to visit, you know, halfway across the country to play, or whatever. Yeah. You're playing. I don't care. Well, it doesn't matter. You know, safety be damned, apparently, at this point.
I thought about this because we had a college guy on before the college season when the Big Ten had canceled and everything, and he was kind of smug. And he was, and I'm like, what about
Pete Thamel?
Yeah, I'm like, what about the boosters and things? Oh, it doesn't matter. They're never going to play. And against all my instincts, I didn't fight back because I thought when there's enough money, you figure it out. And everything in my being told me college football would play.
I don't think college football is the best example to use.
Doesn't matter. They play.
They're in a mess right now.
It doesn't matter. They play.
What's going on with Michigan?
I didn't say how it worked or if it worked well. I said they're going to play. And it doesn't matter. The fallout, anything. If everyone dies, it doesn't matter, to my point.
You get enough games in, you make enough money. I mean, you could say what you want about Michigan. They still played six games this year.
Yeah, and they still, you know, got to make some money back on Harbaugh's contract. I mean, they probably fulfilled their obligations with the Big Ten Network and with Fox. So,
isn't Ohio State screwed because of all this? Like, they can't get into the championship?
These are all things that are not pertinent to my argument. My argument was that they were going to play football, and they did. And it's been not good for a lot of teams. BC, by the way, is clean as it can get. BC hasn't had a case.
They may be the best program in the country.
Yes.
Boston College. They did a great job.
Yeah, so, yeah.
So Ohio State, because that game's not going to be played, didn't get the required six games in order to be eligible for the Big Ten championship.
They'll throw a game in there. I guarantee.
Dude, it's December 19th. That's the championship.
No, they'll make an exception. I mean, they were talking about. I was reading last night. They're going to make an exception.
They'll throw a game in there.
They'll call this an unusual. They don't even have to. They're going to call this an unusual circumstance. You know, the world is different this year. We'll make an exception. Ohio State's going to play in a conference championship.
And Ohio State's going to play.
They're going to win that. They're going to win that game, and they're going to be in the Final Four.
Yep. I mean, they're and if they had to, for some reason, again, my point being, if they had to, Ohio State would schedule a game. In if they haven't played Nebraska, you don't think that Scott Frost and Nebraska, they wanted to play when the minute the Big Ten, they said they were going to leave the Big Ten.
Yeah. Well, I don't know when they could schedule the game because that championship
today.
Game is...
Shove the game in on Thursday.
I don't know if you understand my point.
Yeah.
Today. No, they'd play today.
Yeah.
No, they'd offer a school $1 million to come into Ohio State to play today.
You think Texas State would like some more cash to go to Ohio State and get beaten by 45?
Yes, no, I mean, you're probably right. I mean, they could whip something up, but they gotta make an announcement like now.
Well, no. Not really. As soon as they could get a team to shove a bunch of kids on a plane and they could get two long-haul truck drivers to drive the equipment across state.
And Ohio State didn't even start all their regulars. I mean, just play the second string guys and win by 40, and there you have your extra game.
Yeah, I mean, they'll get it done. I mean, it's these things are going to happen. These machinations, and when they have to, they have to. I mean, obviously you can't play if half your team has got COVID. That's when you cancel a game. But if Ohio State is healthy enough to play, I mean, they were missing 85 kids against Michigan State, and it didn't matter. They still killed them. And, you know, if they have enough kids to play, they'll find a school with enough kids to play, and they'll play. And if they can't, and if they have to, and if they don't have to, they won't. But, I mean, they will. I knew it when we had Thamel on. I knew I should have fought back. It would have been of no use at that point. But my genius would have been on record.
We could have played it right now.
That's right.
We could have played it. See, I told you.
That's right. I told you all this was going to happen. Yep. When there's money on the line, they'll find a way. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.